long, even though I always say that in chapel, and I normally go up until the time limit. But I will not preach long tonight. It's a message, but hopefully it's more of a charge. I feel like I'm probably preaching to the choir, that this is nothing new on prayer, but I hope tonight that maybe I push you just a little bit. And that if I could push you, get you excited about prayer and what God has done for you and what He will do, then I'll feel like it's accomplished something. But again, it's nothing new on prayer. But if you could turn to 1 Chronicles, before I get there, just to add, your pastor, you're talking about people praying, family praying for you to get saved, and then you've got other people praying for your family to get saved. That's how my dad got saved. His sister was praying for him for years. And even when he moved out, so he grew up in north central Iowa as a farmer and moved out to the suburbs of Chicago. And when he was 19, 20 years old, he knew he needed to get saved. He grew up in church. He just got away. Well, he was never saved, but he got out of church. I'll do that next year. And he was 21. I'll do that maybe when I'm 22, and kept pushing and pushing it. But he had a sister that was praying for him. And all of a sudden, actually it was God working, a pastor comes knocking on a door on Valentine's Day, the Saturday morning. He could have taken his wife out to eat, and I wouldn't have blamed him if he took his wife out to eat on that Valentine's Day, but he said, I'm going to knock a few doors. And he went and knocked on my dad's door and led my dad to the Lord that day. A sister was praying for him. Just so happens, around that same time, someone was knocking on my mom's door. She lived in a split level. There was a family that lived in the basement level, and she lived in the upper level. Well, we don't know who it was, but left a track inside. So must have talked to the neighbor and left a track on the stairs going up to her apartment. And she went to an apostolic lady and said, work. Hey, what do you think about this church? Now, this lady never actually talked about God, but never actually invited my mom to church. Should have done that. You know, I'm glad she didn't, because apostolic, and I'm glad that she didn't, but really should have. She looks at that track. She's like, that's a good-looking family. I'll take you to that church on Sunday. And my mom started going to Hope Baptist Church in Crystal Lake and didn't get saved. She thought she had gotten saved, but it wasn't. She got saved if you got her assurance a few years later. But someone was praying for my dad, and around the same time, my mom gets a track, gets into church. That church closed down. We merged with Northwest Bible Baptist Church when I was just a couple months old. And because of someone praying, I've got an older brother. He's married, has 4 kids in Missouri. They go to church. I've got a younger brother. He's married. He's got a daughter. They're in church this morning. And we're in church. Someone was praying. And sometimes and not that we shouldn't go out and tell others about Jesus. We need to. We need to be soul winners. Not just on door-to-door, well, that's good, but there's time. We can be soul winners all the time. We can tell people about Jesus all the time, family, friends. But we need the prayer life to back it up. Because soul winning, in our minds, is impossible in my strength. I can't win someone. I can't save someone. I wish I could. I've got an uncle that's not saved. I used to write him letters as a kid. I gave him Bibles. We tried to do whatever we could. My grandma would preach to him, and he'd be like, stop preaching to me, Mom. But we've all tried it, but it's impossible for me to do that. But with God, it's possible. And through prayer, it's possible. And we see here in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. You know, going through the genealogies here, it's really rough reading sometimes through the genealogies. Like, Lord, please, give me something. You know, you pray, Lord, give me something from my Bible reading. And then you get the Chronicles, you're like, okay, well, there's going to be a few days here where maybe I won't get something, but I know it's good. You know, and I'm just, okay, let's just be honest. That's kind of where we're at. You get to Chronicles and you go to the New Testament so that you can, like, okay, I need to get something. But there's actually something through these genealogies. And I remember hearing a message from this as a teenager, and it stuck out in my mind ever since. I've not forgotten the message on it. And we see here a man named Jabez, verse number 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, because I bear him with sorrow. And then we see here in verse number 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. He prayed. He called out to God. What did he say? Saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, and it may not grieve me. And what happened? And God granted him that which he requested. He was such a man that he could go and ask God these things, and God would grant him. It is so much that in the middle of this genealogy, so much in the middle of all of this, God would stop for two verses and talk about Jabez. Why didn't he talk about, and I'm not even going to try to mention the other names in there, why didn't he stop and talk about them? But there was a difference. He was an honorable man, and he prayed. And not only prayed, he believed. And he knew that there was one that he could call on and pray to. And in his eyes, it was impossible to have all this happen, the list that he gave God, but God granted it him. How many prayer requests do we have? How many needs we're suffering in something, maybe health or mentally or emotionally we're suffering or financially? We just need to pray. And do we have that relationship where we could pray and God would grant that? We see that in Jabez. We're going to see that through some other stories tonight. I'm going to give you a couple personal stories of prayer requests answered to try to encourage you, but and then try to charge you at the end with a couple questions to see, do we have impossible prayer requests? Because really, what we're trying to do is an impossible thing. Trying to reach Amboy in your own strength, trying to reach Elgin, Illinois in my own strength is absolutely impossible. I can't do that. I can't save people. I can't grow a bus route. My wife and I, we're bus captains. We run a bus route. I can't grow that. But with God, it's possible. And with God, all these needs that we have are absolutely possible. Seeing family members saved, absolutely possible. But we just need to go to Him. Let's pray and then we'll get into the message. Dear Lord, thank You so much for all that You've done for us. Thank You for the opportunity to preach here tonight. Please speak through me tonight. I pray that I could be a blessing to the church here. Thank You for their blessing, Lord, that they are to me, to our church, to our camp. I pray that they can get something from the message tonight, Lord. Amen. Prayers in the Bible. There's a lot of prayers in the Bible. There's a lot of prayer requests. You know, there's over 650 prayers in the Bible. So I gave you one. I'm going to give you the 649 other ones starting right now. I'm not going to do that tonight. But there's a lot of prayers in the Bible. There's 450 around that many actually answered prayers. So you can actually see where God answers prayer. Now, God answered all the prayers. We just don't know necessarily in the Bible. And it's not always what we like either. Sometimes we don't get answered prayer the way we think it should be, and that's probably a good thing. You think about the children of Israel and wanting a king. Is that what they needed? But that's what they wanted. And finally, God just said, okay, do it. You know, in my life, sometimes I'd rather a no. Sometimes we don't like it. We get upset right away. My parents tell me no. Don't tell me no. But they knew that there was something else in play, and maybe I needed that no. So don't get upset sometimes if you feel like God's not answering it. Sometimes He is, and you just don't know the whole picture. But we see some other prayer requests. I see the prayer of Hannah wanting a son. So much to where she was weeping. She was going and weeping to where the preacher thought she was drunk. Said, what's up with you? She's like, she was just so burdened. She wanted a son so much she would promise God to give him back to him when he was born. And Eli sees that. And I think one of the most amazing things, I think, in that story, he answers and then says, Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition. He has such a walk with God that he could tell her, God's going to answer what you're praying for. And guess what he did? Impossible? You're absolutely right. That was impossible. I think about Elijah with the prophets of Baal. He goes and he has a challenge to them, and it says, okay, if you think that Baal is God, well, you go and have your altar, sacrifice this bullock and call down fire from heaven or from Baal and have him, you know, accept that sacrifice. So they do that. They set up the altar, they start going, they start dancing, do whatever they can do to try to get Baal's attention, and it goes to all day to where at lunchtime it's still doing it, and then they decide, we'll cut ourselves. They're doing all these crazy things to call on a false god who does absolutely nothing. And Elijah's mocking him. For time, I'm not going to read all the verses. I think a lot of you know that story. But he's mocking them, saying, you're calling on a false god. So he says, time out, okay? We're going to go. So he goes, fixes up the altar, slices up the bullock, puts it on there, and then says, I want you to go, and he got a bunch of men, get 4 barrels of water. Now, there's a drought. Now, I don't know about here. We haven't been getting much rain up in Elgin. My grass is brown. I'm a landscaper. I love green grass. We haven't had much water. So much to where at times the city will say you can't water your grass on a certain day because they're running out. Well, they're in a worse scenario than that right now. They had no water. It wasn't raining. Go get this water. Okay, dump it on there. Dump it on there? That's impossible, Elijah. We can't start that on fire. You're not going to make this wood wet and we're going to start on fire, right? You're going to go camping and get a bunch of wet wood and start it on fire. Is that what you're going to do? No, you're going to go to the store buy and then have to buy one of those little fire logs because you got wet wood. And that's what they're thinking, Elijah, what are you thinking? But okay, whatever, we'll do it. That's what I would be saying at least. I'd be kind of questioning him. No, do it again. Four more. Do it again. 12 barrels of water to where it's overflowing. They had trenches. It's full up. And then what do we see? We see in 1 Kings chapter 18, and you don't need to turn there, I'll read it. It says, "And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at that time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said," and we hear 63 words. That's all this prayer was. It wasn't a couple hour prayer. I don't know if any of you have ever tried to pray for an hour. I remember getting encouraged to do that in high school once. Pray for an hour. Don't fall asleep. Pray for an hour. That's a long time to pray. But it didn't take that here. It took 63 words. And what were those 63 words? He said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, and that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart back again." And what happens? Then, meaning immediately, so he literally just said 63 words, and immediately following, not a day later, not after hours more of prayer, but he had so much power with God that he prayed 63 words, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is the God." We see something absolutely impossible. It was absolutely impossible for Elijah to make this happen. He couldn't do that. He couldn't go and light that. And especially after he put all that water on there, it's not like he's going to go and start fire on it. He's not going to start it on fire. He had an impossible need that day. And he knew who could fix that problem. He knew who he was supposed to go to. And he went in prayer and he asked. He had an impossible prayer request. How many of us have prayer requests today that we're praying for? Some maybe we've stopped praying for a little bit, but you can think of it now. There's probably some prayer requests that you have. Some of them may be small, and that's good. Don't stop those small prayer requests. But some of them have pretty big prayer requests that we got to rely on God for. Doesn't matter the size of it, we should rely on Him. You know, I think of as a kid, we moved into, so our church, you're talking about the church being in Mount Prospect. It got to a point where we knew we were going to move to Elgin, 31 miles. It's a long distance to move a church. Well, the members knew that, so my parents moved to Elgin about a year or two before that so that we could start living. So a lot of the church was already moving there. So we moved in this new house, and neighbors were on the sides, and it was a pretty decent yard. My parents said, "Well, we've got three boys. We really could use a fence. We want a privacy fence, but we don't have the money for that. We're putting our kids through the Christian school," and my dad had a good job, but they were giving and tithing and doing all that, so they didn't have the money for it. So what do you do? Beg, borrow, steal? No. What do you do? Pray. And they taught us from just a couple years old, let's pray. Why can't we pray and say, "God, give us a fence"? Now, wood prices weren't like what they are today. I'm working on my house now and it's outrageous what they are. But it's still a couple $1,000s to build a fence. And a lot of work. And a 5 and 6 year old kid, I did not want to get a post hole digger and dig down 3 feet. I did not want to do that. So I really was interested in praying for a little bit different reason than the money. I just didn't want to do all that work, okay? Just being honest. But we started praying. And guess what happens within, I don't remember the exact amount of time, a couple weeks or a month? Guess what our neighbor puts up to the right? A fence. That's a third of it, right? We just need the back, the other side, and a gate, and another gate. Lord, you answered it. And I didn't have to do the work. That was really an answer of prayer. I didn't have to do anything. What happens a couple weeks later? The neighbor on the left, "Oh, we want to put up a fence too." Two-thirds of the fence is already put up. And we didn't have to. I wasn't out there sweating, doing any of the work. My parents didn't pay any of the money through prayer. "Well, Lord, you've given us that, but there's still a hole in the back. We still can see through, and we need a gate. Maybe you can make this happen somehow. I don't know how. We have no more neighbors. There's no more neighbor behind us. You just got to do it somehow. You've worked a miracle." So we start praying. And during that time, my parents were watching. There's a lady in our church. Her husband passed away and had a daughter my age. And so during the summer, she needed to work. My mom would watch her. And so she hung around with us during the summertime. Did it for free. It's church family. They're the next street over, just a couple houses down. We weren't looking for anything. And my parents said, "You're not paying us. We're just going to do this to be a blessing to her," because she was struggling. She just lost her husband. She needed to work, provide in a house. And so we do that. And I believe, I don't know if it was that year, but I think she ended up getting married to one of the men in the church. And at the end of that summer, they write a check out to my parents. Now, we didn't want that. But do you know what that amount was for? Enough to cover? That covered the back of the fence, the gate, and the other side. And that summer, my family prayed in a fence. Impossible? You're right. We didn't have the money to do that. But with God, all things are possible. The next summer, we wanted a pool. We're like, you know what? Let's get a pool. So what are we going to do? Mom and Dad, we want a pool for our birthday. Nope. Pray it in. We don't have the money. We just paid for the Christian school for you. We have this house. We're putting food. But if you want a pool, you better pray that in. Okay. We'll pray for a pool. I don't know how this is going to happen. This is before Facebook Marketplace and OfferUp and all that, where you could go and see people with free pools. This day, people are giving stuff for free all the time. We didn't have that. This was 23 years ago, or 23, 24 years ago. Didn't have that. So we just start praying. One night a storm comes, really, really bad storm. Thunderstorm, lightning, wind, it's crazy. Trees are blowing everything. Worried about the fence that we just put up the year before. Is that going to blow over? You know, what's going to happen? We wake up the next day, and what's in the backyard? A pool. If you want proof, I'll call my brother and my parents tonight, and you can talk to them. There was a pool. It was an inflatable, about a 2-foot pool, that flew over the fence in that storm that God sent, and it landed in our backyard. I'm not lying. Impossible. You're right. It's absolutely impossible. How could that happen? The neighbors lost the pool, right? It flew over in one of the neighbors. So we go. You lose a pool? No. What about your next neighbor? Do you lose a pool? No, I don't know what you're talking about. Go down the street. No one had any idea where this pool came from. We knew. We knew where it came from. All it was dirty. We had to take a hose, clean it out, fill it up. And as a 6 or 7-year-old boy, my brother would have been 3 or 4, we had a pool that summer because of prayer. All it took was prayer. We had a fence. Over that fence, that 6-foot fence, flew a pool that next year, and God gave it to us. God's waiting to do stuff for us. I don't think when we get to heaven there will be a room, a storage room of all the prayers that God wanted to answer that we didn't pray for. But maybe there will be. Maybe we'll be able to see, and God will have a list. Hey, I was going to do this and this and this for you, and I wanted to help you with this, and you just didn't ask me. And if you would have just asked, I would have done it. My son asked me for food. And he's hungry. Now, if he just had lunch and he didn't eat enough for lunch and we told him to, I'm not going to go and give him food right after that. But if he's truly hungry, I'm going to do what I have to do. If I got to go out and get a part-time job or go try mow a lawn to get money to get food, I'm going to provide for him. Much more our Heavenly Father wants to do for us. We just don't ask. We're married for a couple years. And Chase is born. He's about a year old. And she's going and gives Chase a bath. And she gives him a bath, she gets ready, puts him down to bed, and then she comes to me after he's asleep with a horrible look, like something horribly just happened. What happened? She's like, "I lost my ring." What? Okay, I didn't do that. I was smart enough not to do that. I was inside, I was like, "What are you doing? I worked so hard to pay for that. I picked it out myself. She had no idea. She never told me what she wanted in a ring. I took my mom to the mall. We went to so many stores, picked it out specifically, had it custom made just for her, and she lost it. Okay, let's go. We're gonna look through the house. It's got to be here somewhere. So we did. She's crying. I'm upset, but I'm not telling her that. And we're going through the house, tearing it apart, can't find it. We're like, wait, she gave Chase a bath. It's down the drain. There's that little, you know, we can find it because, you know, so let's go. There's a camera. The college, we were staying at the college at the time, had a camera to go down the drain. I'm like, it's not there. Maybe it went all the way down the trap up in, but the problem was the next stop was the city of Elgin water reclamation plant where there's millions and millions of gallons of water. That was the next stop for it. Or through all the pipes of the college, the mile long, the pipes all through the college. And she's up, she's crying. We don't know, what are we going to do? Well, let's pray. So we started praying for a while. And unfortunately, I gave up. I shouldn't have. I'm sorry. I wish I would have continued praying, but she never did. I gave up to the point I said, you know what? I wanted to get a ring, so we bought her a temporary one, someone that she could have. And without her knowing this, for several months, I started putting money aside to buy her a ring. I said, I'm going to get her the same exact one. I looked through the company that we bought it from. There are three bands left, the exact one left in the country. There's only three left. There's one 100 miles away. I went there, looked at it. Yep, it's the same one. Got the price for it. Had half the money saved up. And by her birthday, I was going to save up the rest of the money and I was going to buy her that ring. Because me, I was going to take care of that. You know, I'm the husband. I'm going to save the day. I'm going to be the one that's going to save the day. She's going to be so happy with me. But I was trying to do that in my own strength. All along, she's praying, God, I don't know where this is at. It probably went down the drain. But would you put it somewhere where we will find it? Will you take it and will you move it? Maybe it's in the water reclamation plant. Maybe it's in those millions of gallons of water. And it very well could have been. Could have been. Well, one night, we're living at the college. We had an air conditioner. It was like a window unit. And it was leaking, flooding the little area. So I had to go down, work on it, try to get the water out, fix it all up. And now, she vacuums. Okay, she vacuums her house, keeps it clean. So it's very clean. Vacuums a lot. I mean, like a couple times a week. I know the house is vacuumed, so I know she goes under the air conditioner, so no dust, all that. I'm down on my hands and knees at midnight with a flashlight, and I see something sparkle under the air conditioner. I'm like, she left her $10 Walmart ring there that she was wearing. She left it under there. I pick it up. I'm like, that doesn't feel like plastic. Shannon, wake up, wake up. It's midnight. I'm sleeping. Wake up! I want you to tell me, is this your ring? My wedding ring! And all along, she had been praying, God, place that somewhere we can find it. Would you just put it somewhere that we can find it? And you know what? Impossible? Was it there all along? Maybe. But to this day, she believes God put it there. And is it possible for Him to take it from 10 million gallons of water, a big tank, to put it into our apartment under the air conditioner, that I would find it at midnight one night? You better believe that that's possible. But not with me. Because that was absolutely impossible. And these are just a few things. There's so many more prayer requests that have been answered in my life. We see a lot in the Bible. We see examples. There's many, many examples of prayer requests. What about you? Do you have some impossible prayer requests that God has answered for you? Do you have any right now? God wants to answer our prayers. He wants to do it. We just need to ask Him. So the question is, do you have any right now? The first question is, do you have an impossible prayer request that God, that you're praying for God to answer? It may be suffering physically. It could be emotionally. It could be someone health-wise. It could be financially that struggle. Whatever the need is, it could be small. You may say, I don't even want to tell anyone because they're going to laugh at me maybe how small my prayer request is. But in God's eyes, it's big. He takes whatever small problem you may say or what maybe other people think it's small, and it's the biggest deal to Him. He wants to help. I could see Him waiting. I wish they would ask me. I know what I'm going to do. I know how to help them. They're just not asking me. The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. It's not just another person that knows you. We're talking about someone that loves you, that sent His Son to die for you. He wants you to cast that upon Him. Are we praying and asking Him? Do we have prayer requests right now that we're asking God to answer? You know, so many times we pray Him and thank Him for our food. We should. Don't stop doing that. We pray for safety, right? We leave. Anytime we go somewhere, we pray. We stop and pray and ask God for safety. And that's a big deal. But on the grand scheme of things, I hate to say it, but it's kind of small. You know, I have a stomachache. While it's a big deal, it's kind of, if we limit God to just that, we really kind of just hold a small God. Honestly, we just think that's all He can do is I'm just going to pray for safety. I'm just going to pray for my food. I'm going to thank Him for that. But God wants to do so much more through you. I tell Chase, He's got something for you. And everyone in here, God has a plan for you. It doesn't matter the age. It doesn't matter if you're the youngest to the oldest. to say, I just don't know what I can do. God has a plan for you and He wants to do something impossible through you. You just need to ask Him, how big is your God? Do you have a prayer request that only God can answer? It's so big that no one can answer it. Next, are you close enough for Him to answer your prayer? The Bible says, draw nigh to God. What? And He will draw nigh to you. Are we close enough, or is there something in that way? You know, if Chase, now he's only 4 years old, but as a teenager, if he goes and lives in my house and doesn't talk to me week after week, and he's done wrong and won't apologize to him, and then he comes up and says, Dad, I want $10. Sounds like a teenager. Give me money. I'm not talking, but am I going to give him $10? Probably not. Now, it really depends on what it's for, but probably not. Why? Chase, you haven't talked to me for a month. We're in the same house. I provide all this for you. Why wouldn't you talk to me? What about our Heavenly Father? He wants to answer it, but if all we ever do is a rabbit's foot, oh, I need this money now, I'm short $100, please just do this, and then we don't talk to Him for the next month till the rent is due, and oh, I need another $50, Lord. We need to have that relationship where we can talk to Him, and you can. Can He hear you today? Can He hear our prayer? We need to have that prayer request. We need to be close enough to Him. We also need to know, do we actually believe He will answer it? Do we have the faith? In Matthew, it talks about the disciples were trying to cast out these devils from a kid and couldn't do it. Maybe they were trying in their own strength. And we go and we see, and the disciples are like, why can't we do this? Why can't we not cast them out? And Jesus says to them, because of your unbelief. They couldn't do it because of their unbelief. And a lot of times we're not having answered prayers. I'm not having answered prayers because I don't believe. What does He say after that? For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, small little seed, it just takes a little bit. The thing is, we don't even have that much sometimes. Our faith is so shallow that we can't get an answer to prayer. He says, if you have a faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto that mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Could you move a mountain? We were just south of Wisconsin Dells, and they have a lot of, they call them rolling hills, but to us it's like mountains, because, you know, in Illinois it's just flat, you know, unless you get to Galena, then that's like a mountain. Wow, that's cool. You know, it's only like 500 feet up. But could I go to one of those mountains and say, you move over there? Could I do that? No, I can't, because I don't have enough faith. Just being honest. And that's our problem, because of our unbelief. But how many times do we see in Mark chapter 10, thy faith hath made thee whole. We see the lepers. The lepers come, there's 10 of them. Save them, we need to get help. And because of their faith, they were healed. Do we have enough faith in God? Do we really believe that He can answer that prayer request? He wants to. He's waiting to do it. Do we have the faith? And lastly, how many prayer requests has God answered for us? This isn't a trick question. It's more to get you to think and remember. Do you write down or do you remember some of the amazing and prayer requests that God has answered? I told you a few tonight from my childhood. There's a lot more. We just had one recently that was answered. We've got one right now that we're praying for. I've even given God, I don't know if it's wrong or not, I told God I want it by the end of this year, I'm praying for someone, there's a certain person we're praying to come to church. I said, Lord, this year is a year. It's been so long. I want them in church this year. Whatever you got to do, work a miracle, do the impossible thing, we want them in church. Can God do it? He could do it. He's done it before. We have had another prayer request just like that a handful of years ago. I told God, and I don't even know if I told my wife that, I wanted this answered because I know God can do it. I'm putting a timeline on God. I want it done. I want it done. I have faith He can do it, and it happened. And it didn't even take all year for it to happen. God wants to answer your prayer request. He's waiting. Just like Elijah, He was waiting to call down fire, to send down fire. Elijah just had to ask and believe. Do you have a prayer request tonight that you're praying for? Big or small? I encourage you to get some big ones. Some to say, God, this seems impossible, but You can do it. So would You do it? Would You answer this for me? And get an impossible prayer request. Draw closer to Him. Draw nigh to Him so that He will answer it. And believe. And when He answers those, the lepers, how many turn back and thank God for it? One. Would that be true of us Christians today, that only 10% actually thank God for the prayer request that He's answered? That we were only 10% would actually remember it? And I'm preaching to myself. It's not just to you. I'm saying to me, I need to remember the prayer request that God answered. I get excited thinking about my childhood and finding her ring and all these things. And you can have that same excitement. God wants to use each and every one of you. He wants to do something impossible with this church. There's people that only you can reach. It's impossible for you to do it alone. You just need to ask Him. God will use this church. God will use each and every one of you. Not just collectively, but individually. He's got a plan for everyone in here. He's got a plan for me. He's got a plan for my family, for the tour ladies. But are we asking Him to use us? Do something impossible. Let's do something impossible in Amboy. What about Illinois? Could we see people saved? Could we see Illinois changed back to God through churches like this, having faith and praying? What about our country? Is it too late? Some of us would say yes sometimes. And getting angry, sometimes we think they've gone too far, or have they? Maybe this country is not too far gone yet. And it just takes a few Christians to believe and say, Lord, send a revival. Turn the tide, Lord. There's this country is going the wrong way, but we need to change it. And I'm going to do my best to change it. I'm going to pray, Lord, use me to do something impossible through my life that this country can get turned around and be what it used to be. Is it impossible? Through me, yes. But with God, all things are possible. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you.